And she who said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you are the light of the world. You have come to forgive us our sin, to lead and to guide us through your Holy Spirit, to walk with the lonely and the ill. Help us to see your divine plan and will for us. May we strive to put a smile on everyone's face. Come, Lord Jesus, thank you for being who you are. In your name, amen.
Are there any additional prayer requests this morning? Okay. Anyone else would like to share with us this morning? Now let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do lift up Sharon and the doctors as she's continuing doctoring on her foot, Lord. We pray for healing and guidance there, Lord, and a good outcome. Lord, we lift up the others here in our prayer circle, Lord. We continue to pray for Laverne and as he continues to go through treatments, and we pray for him, Lord, as well as the doctors who are working with him, and pray, Lord, that the You'd continue your good work there in healing, Lord. We lift up the others, Lord, especially at this Christmas time, Lord. Pray you'd be close to those who are shut-ins and aren't able to be with us. We think those who are gone for the winter. We think of Myrtle and Verna. She's down. We think also of Delphia and Franklin as they're gone for the winter months, Lord. We lift each one and we pray, Lord, a blessed Christmas season for each of them, even though they're not able to join us for worship here. Lord, we pray this afternoon for our time of caroling. Lord, we pray for willing people to go with, and may you use us, Lord, to spread your joy that you brought at Christmas, Lord. And we pray for the service now. We pray for you to be with Pastor as he shares. Pray you'd be with us as we hear, Lord, that we may be open and receptive to your word. And just bless us this week, Lord, we pray, and may we as a people remember why we celebrate Christmas. And just give us a good time with our families, Lord, we pray, this week to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us together confess our sins in the words of the confession found in today's bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to seek your forgiveness for our sins. We have sinned by disobedience and omission, with pride and selfishness, and with disrespect and unrighteous living. For these we are truly and seek your mercy and grace. Cleanse us according to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Absolution that is found in the bulletin from 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sins. I'm going to call on Brad to read.
mistake.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 8, page 119 in the Pew Bibles. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Second reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, page 1830 in the Pew Bibles. Rejoice the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Sunday in Advent is called the Angel Sunday. So today, hymn number 22 in the Ambassador, we're going to sing that now. We get to sing it, hymn number 22, Angels We Have Heard on High.
thank you for the good singing again this morning. And now we'll call on the ushers for our morning offering.
To this babe do angels sing, and why do treasures wise men bring, and why a crown about his head, as shepherds worship at his bed? Who is this child so sweet and mild? Is he a child or a king? He is a child or a king? A glistening star lights up the sky, a brighter light shines in reply. One tiny infant clothed with grace gives life to all who seek his face. Who is this child so sweet and mild? Is he a child or a king? Is he a child or a king? He is a child and a king.
You may be seated, and we get to sing It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, hymn number 24, also in the Ambassador Hymn Book, number 24. Well, we're going to reread Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 8, which reads as follows in Jesus' name. Let us stand for the reading of this portion as we review it this morning. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice of one crying, one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry not. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth, because you are eternal truth. In thy name, amen. You may be seated. Now, the book of Isaiah is a very interesting book because it's sort of like an Advent book. We note in Isaiah various different passages of that are referring to the coming of Christ, to the birth of Jesus. Actually, we can find quite a few passages in the Old Testament which are prophetic, which point to the birth of Jesus. I have one Bible that lists all of these passages in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, which point towards Christ. So all of the Old Testament really virtually points towards Jesus. And when certain passages are understood rightly, you can see that Jesus is in them. And one example comes from Isaiah chapter 7, which we could, as I mentioned, call the Advent book of the Bible, all looking for Jesus. And in verse 14 of chapter 7 of Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And this, of course, is a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us, that God is with us. And Jesus came to heaven to identify with us. He is with us, as we know, even today, and regardless of our circumstances. So there are many wonderful passages in the book of Isaiah and in the entirety of the Old Testament which point directly towards the coming of Christ. So in the first 39 chapters of this book of Isaiah, God is speaking to Israel, and is speaking to Israel about judgment. And these 39 chapters are full of the law, and Israel was being punished by God for their sin and their sinning. And Israel is being forced by God to repent of their sins, and he is using the captivity towards the people of Assyria to bring about that repentance and that which was needed in the life of Israel. So even in captivity, the Lord was continually speaking to them about their need to worship him and to put him first. And so most of Israel were involved with shameful idol worship. And we think we always look and see that idol worship is bowing down to some inanimate object which can't do anything, and that's true. But they were worshiping also
even demons in the Old Testament days. But now always amidst this condemning judgment of God and the fact that Israel was in captivity to the Assyrians, God always wanted to give them comfort and hope, because he had a better way to travel than to worship idols. And comfort cannot come to any of us unless there is sorrow for sin. Comfort cannot come unless there is real contrition and sorrow for sin. In fact, comfort cannot come to any of us unless we are penitent for our sins and our sinful condition and the sinful things we do. For our own personal sinful condition, we need to repent. So the law had to do its work. So during the first 39 chapters of this book of Isaiah, the Lord is using the law to do its work. The work of the law is like a hammer. It's like a sword, a two-edged sword that can go back and forth. If you were going to go into battle, you would want to have a two-edged sword, right? Because you can go both ways as you attack God's enemy. And it's interesting to note, too, as I was reading the other day, that those men that are going into the armed services are taught bayonet training. I thought the day of bayonet training was over, but then when you read it and understand it, that when in a personal conflict with the enemy on a one-to-one basis, bayonet may be very, very, very good instrument to use as one fights an enemy. And the law must do its work. God's law has to do work in the hearts of people, whoever it is, speaking to them, that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, if you had a diagnosis for some kind of surgery, and when it came time, the doctor says, well, we're going to schedule this surgery for such and such a date, and you said, oh no, I'm not going to have you cut into me, I'm not going to let you do that, then you will remain in the condition that you are. So God had to cut into Israel with the law. And before the Lord could give them comfort, before he could give them hope, before he could forgive their sins, he needed to get their attention in order to submit to the kind of surgery that God wants to do. And he gets our attention through the use of the law. Paul said he would not have known sin except for the law in Romans, I believe it's chapter 3. Nor would Paul have known the comfort of the gospel and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he had not seen his sin. And the only way that we can see our sin is through the law. And the law speaks to us and we realize that we have sinned. So Paul could not have known the comfort of Christ. He could not have known the forgiveness of sins. He could have not have known the truth of a new birth in Christ. I love the account of the aged Simeon, who was a believer in the coming of Jesus. He studied the Old Testament prophecies and he knew that Jesus was coming. Called him the Messiah. Translation of the word Messiah is salvation. Salvation is coming. And the Holy Spirit led Simeon to understand that he would not die until he saw the Lord's salvation firsthand. And Simeon actually held in his hands the infant baby. He held salvation, Messiah, the Messiah in his hands, 8 days of age. What Simeon had done, what God had permitted him to do in his life was to experience Jesus. To experience Jesus. Before Simeon actually held the baby Jesus in his arms, he had lots of knowledge of Jesus, but no experience of Jesus. And we know that makes a difference. we must experience. Many people have a lot of knowledge of Jesus, but they have never experienced Jesus. Once in a while, we meet one of those who has lots of knowledge of God, lots of knowledge of Jesus, lots of knowledge of the Bible, active in the church, doing this and that, whatever they are doing, but they have not, they have lots of knowledge, but they have never experienced Jesus. And Simeon experienced Jesus. God was virtually bringing Israel to his knees in the first 39 chapters of this book. And now he was turning in chapter 40 to comfort them. Israel, like many people today, think that God will wink at their sins. But God does not wink at sin. He never has and he never will wink at sin. He does not wink at sin at all. He cannot do that. It's unacceptable to him, any sinning that we do, because God is holy and righteous and will not wink at your sin nor mine. So Israel was like many today. They believe God will not be anything too severe to them, so they pass it off and continue their sinful habits and ways, thinking they can have Jesus and salvation and still disobey him. But he will be severe. Such thinking comes when a person is not really listening to God, is not into the Word of God, does not worship God, has not experienced salvation in God. When a person has not seen their sin, it produces that kind of a reaction in their lives, and they pass it off. The Lord totally condemns sin. The Lord totally condemns idolatry, whether it was Israel or us. Idol worship was their primary sin. They were now being convinced of their sin in captivity. They were convinced, and they had been driven up really into a blind alley where there was no return. God sent Israel into captivity to teach them that they were guilty, that they were sinners, that they were worshipers of idols. He sent them into captivity to frustrate them. Then he would send Isaiah to them, and he would announce what is said here, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, I've come to speak tenderly to you because you understand your sinful situation, and now I can do that." Filled with sin and sinful pride, Israel became belligerent. They became rebellious toward God. Now this was Isaiah's opportunity to show them their sinful condition. Getting their lost to see their sin-filled hearts is the most difficult task of the church. The most difficult task of the church. The most difficult task of the pastor. The most difficult task of anyone who knows the Lord is to confront people with their sins. We leave these matters in God's hands. Yes, we do, because we are not the ultimate judge. But when he says to speak, we must speak. Many are like the church in Laodicea, and we read about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked." So until the Lord could get the attention of Israel, the message of comfort could not be told. The trouble is today, from many pulpits, the message of comfort is told, but the words of the law are not spoken. And many times, when we speak truthfully and frankly about sinful condition that we all have, it's like water off a duck's back for some people. But no person will ever get the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah until they see their old nature, their sinful condition. Many a Jew, as many people today, need to experience the forgiveness of sins. I think it is because these people have not experienced the depth of sin in their lives. They can pass it off. Then there will be absolutely no comfort to them. But when Jesus pardons, when Jesus forgives, when we enter into his grace and his love, there are no hoops to jump. When Jesus pardons, there is no stockade built for punishment. When Jesus pardons, he does not hold us up as an example of some kind of someone who deserves punishment. When Jesus pardons and forgives, John says, if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be absolutely, totally free when you confess your sin to God and see your sinfulness and decide on one's own that he will forgive and we will obey. Has not God said and will he not do? Numbers 24:19. I really love that passage. God's pardon is guaranteed. Jesus made it possible. Even for the Jew, even for the Israelite, even for those who are of the Islamic confession. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man may no more die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Second birth. You know, I rejoice when I hear on television the singing of this hymn and this final chapter or this final stanza where it says he was born to give them second birth. Can you imagine? And they sing it in the stores where we go on radio, television, even on the streets. Born to give them second birth. You want to say, listen folks, Jesus was born to give you second birth. A voice cries out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. So Jesus' primary aim to the people of Israel and to us as well is to give us comfort, to give us hope, to give us grace, to offer us forgiveness and announce to us forgiveness. In order for him to give comfort, he maybe is going to have to afflict us and put us in some kind of a captivity in order that we may know our sinful condition. He does it to get our attention and to frustrate us. Because Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, risen from the grave of sin and despair. Jesus made the way straight. He brings down the mountains we face. Jesus brings them down. He smooths out the rough places. He makes those places smooth. Jesus is the glory of God, which gives light to this world. And Jesus causes the wicked and the sinful to forsake the path they are traveling, and he turns these people, all of us, towards Jesus Christ himself. He continues to turn us day after day after day as we walk. And he gives mercy, he gives peace, he gives salvation, he gives hope, he gives pardon, because he is our pardoning God. Only God through Jesus gives me comfort. Where does your comfort come? Where does our comfort come today? A judge does not relax the law for his own son. A judge never refuses to pass sentence upon a criminal because because he is his son. And so it was with Jesus. Jesus was God's own son, and he faced this death on the cross. And God did not relax the law for Jesus. God the Father did not refuse to pass sentence on his own innocent son. Even though Jesus was his son, even though he became a criminal by taking all of our sins upon himself, the Advent message is clear today. Because God the Father sentenced his own son, so to speak, we have comfort and joy in him. The comfort would be the forgiveness of sins, the pardon for sin. Differs from parole. Being on parole is no pardon. There is no forgiveness on parole. We are not paroled. We are forgiven. When someone is paroled, they have certain strings that are attached. Being placed on parole is like being told, you do that again and you're done for. In pardoning, the strings are all canceled. One has a new beginning, a new start. In being pardoned, God balances the books. In being pardoned, grace would be received for Israel's sins as well as ours. This Advent season message is peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinner reconciled. The Lord speaks tenderly to those who see their sin. And through faith, they become pardoned. In pardon, being pardoned, there is no record of the sin. It's wiped out. It is no more. And there are no conditions for being forgiven and pardoned. Jesus just gives us the pardon as he gives us faith in his Son. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that come our way during this Christmas season. Oh, it's busy. There's lots of things going on and so forth. But Lord, we know that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus face to face and we're being confronted with our sin here. We are thankful we will not be confronted with it on the other side of this life, because you will receive us into your kingdom and your angels will come and usher us into that kingdom, as you have evidenced of that in the scriptures. And also we have evidence that in our experiences as well. In Jesus' name we pray, thanking you today. Amen. Let's sing 23 in the Ambassador Hymn Book, Silent Night, Holy Night. Thank you for listening.
us stand together and pray the Lord's Prayer, receive the benediction, threefold Amen, and then as the candles are extinguished, we'll sing 44 in the Ambassador, the refrain of that song, hymn, a couple of times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.